Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
God wants to rescue the next generation. God wants to rescue the next generation from fear, from loneliness, from anxiety, from depression, from all of that nonsense. And he is mighty to save. Let's pray this morning. Lord, help us to catch what you want us to hear. Lord God, help us to hear and feel what you're saying to us this morning. Amen. Now, I was going to share a bunch of scary statistics, but I'm not going to dwell too much on that this morning because I know that you guys read the news. You students, you're walking the halls with your peers. I think we all, in our gut, we know the state of affairs of today. One statistic that stood out to me was that over 30% of teenagers today suffer from some form of anxiety. It's a big number. And not just like little anxiety, like a lot of anxiety. Like some of them would have been institutionalized if this was the 50s, that level of anxiety. Depression, bullying, loneliness. Research is showing that even though we are more connected than we've ever been with social media, that we're also lonelier than we've ever been. But I want to just give you guys hope this morning. I know it feels dark and it feels overwhelming, but God is not overwhelmed, okay? Now, we are going to be used by God if we step out of faith. If you are in the family of God this morning, you are in the army of God. Good morning. Now, if you're in the army of God, it means that you are a warrior, right? Now, lately, we have been learning about a very special warrior in the Old Testament named King David. Hopefully, you guys have been catching all the amazing sermons about King David. If you're new here this morning, our church is walking through the Bible, hitting all the highlight stories and learning about it. And we just finished learning about King David. Now, David was a mighty warrior, right? But I kind of want to talk about teenager David this morning, since we're talking about teenagers today. Let's go and bring up my verse, Acts chapter 13. This is just part of a verse this morning, so I'd ask that you try and catch what it has. Acts 13:36 says, now this is the New Testament talking about our Old Testament King David, right? It says, David had done the will of God in his own generation. David had done the will of God in his own generation. That seems really simple. It's kind of half a verse, but I want you to catch something. First, we have David had done the will of God. I read that, I'm like, oh, that's what I want. I want to do the will of God. That is my ultimate goal, to do the will of God. Great job, David. You did it. You accomplished the will of God. Oh, but there's more. David did the will of God in his own generation. God placed David in his generation for a specific purpose. Teenagers, you have been placed in your generation for a specific purpose. God didn't place me in your generation. God didn't place Pastor Adam in your generation. He didn't place King David in your generation. He picked you. He picked you to help rescue your generation. I feel called to help equip you to be the mighty warrior that God wants to make you. Now, first off, I am totally honored. I'm totally honored to be standing on the stage getting to talk to you guys. All right? And I am so honored to get to be back in that youth room every Sunday. Church, I love you guys. Grown-ups, adults, I love you. PA, I love listening to your messages. But I love being back there in that room every Sunday, okay? Now, adults, I want to give you a glimpse. If you were to pop back there on a Sunday, this is what you would find. You would find me honored, excited, probably nerding out a little bit because I'm so excited to be back there. And the students are like, okay, all right, calm down. And I'm always like, good morning, guys, how you doing? You know, they're like, yeah, yeah, they have to be cool. I don't have to be cool. I just get to be excited. You're going to find me back there teaching them the Bible. We're doing the same stuff you guys are doing out here. You guys learned about David and Goliath. They learned about David and Goliath. And we are teaching them because we understand that the Bible is so foundational to your walk with God. That is where it begins. I remember when I was a teenager, I was about 13, and I was convinced that I could not hear God speak to me. I was convinced. I thought, you know, God speaks, but my spiritual ears are broken. I can't hear him. That's what I thought, I'm telling you. And then I started to read my Bible. I started to study. I started to learn. And it was like, I started to hear God speak to me. I started to feel God speak to me. I started to see him work in my life and move. And I was a teenager. So that's why we're teaching the Word of God, because it is the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of the most amazing adventure. The next thing you would hear us teach about is something that I call words of life. Now, the world doesn't practice words of life the way the family of God is supposed to. The world believes in making fun of each other and cutting each other down and making fun of each other at someone else's expense, right? You're stupid. Okay, that just leaves everybody empty and broken, and it's actually not nearly as funny. We don't put up with that in the youth group. Okay, the family of God, that's not how we operate. In my youth room, that doesn't fly. We practice words of life. The Bible is so rich with verses about the power of our words. So powerful. One verse says, life and death is in the power of the tongue, meaning our words have so much power. I remember as a teenager really coming to understand this. I would write out, see, I grew up in my dad's youth group. I was blessed. And he taught words of life. And so I started to kind of try this whole words of life thing out. And I would just write out, in high school, I loved to use big chunky markers and write out like notes to my friends. And I would write out these notes to my friends and I'd say, I love you, you're so awesome, you're so fun, you're so smart. And I would just pour out words of life, right? And I would give them to my friends. I had no clue the impact that that was making on my friends. There was one friend who later we were all hanging out at their house. And I looked up, and on the ceiling, above their bed, they had taped up my letters. You see, they wanted to see that, because the world doesn't shower with genuine love. It's selfish love. It's different. The family of God, we are called to lavish words of life onto one another. So that's what we're practicing back there. That's what I'm always getting the students to stretch their comfort zones, to give out those words of life and love onto each other. And they do a great job, because I pushed them pretty hard, especially I remember when we first did it. It was very awkward. I need to give them credit. It was like, okay, you give a quality loving compliment to this person. Ready, go, we're all going to watch you. That's literally what I did. I'm not exaggerating. It was awkward, and they did awesome. And you saw their eyes light up when they received love. So we're constantly working those new muscles, stretching those comfort zones. That's what we're trying to, that's a culture we're building back in that room. The third thing you might hear is, I try and weave this in every chance I get in my lessons, something, a principle that I call, say yes to God. Say yes to God. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't know about you guys, but I can get overwhelmed by the world pretty easily. If someone is dumping on me, they're sharing all their problems with me, and I don't have answers, or I read the news, or something bad happens, it is overwhelming. And I can sit there, and I can try and figure it out, and try to solve it, but I don't get very far. Let me let you in on a little secret. You cannot solve all the world's problems by yourself. I hope that sets somebody free this morning. You cannot do it. You cannot solve it. But what you can do, you can focus on whatever God has placed directly in front of you and say yes to that. Whatever it is, you don't have to worry about the whole world. That whole burden gets lifted off of you, because you don't have to solve all those problems. You don't have to save all those people. You just have to say, what is God asking me to do today? And that's it. It could be small. It could be a little big. It could be a little scary. But say yes to it. Say yes to God, whatever it is, even if it feels weird. Don't worry about what God's going to ask you to do tomorrow, because that's tomorrow. You focus on today. What is God asking you to do? You step out in faith. And I promise you, if you step out in faith, it's true. This principle works, right? And it sets us free. You say yes to God here. You say yes to God here. You say yes to God here. Suddenly you're going to wake up one morning and be like, I am a mighty warrior of God. That's how it happens. We see this in teenager King David. Teenager King David, before he ever got to Goliath, which he was a teenager when he defeated Goliath, so let's give the kid some credit. But even before he got to King David, he says that he defeated lions and bears. Micah, can you imagine if at the end of one of your Spartan races, you had to like kill a lion with your bare hands? I think you would definitely earn a medal at that point. Like, so that's pretty amazing. But you see what was happening. David was confident when it was his turn to face Goliath because he had already been prepared with the lion and the bears. Teenager David had said yes to God. Teenager David had allowed God to prepare him with the lion and the bears. Teenager David stepped out and said yes to God. So that's what we're teaching the students back there. Say yes to God. Now, I want to share a story with you guys about a group of teenagers who decided to say yes to God a lot. Now, this story is about a kid named Sean. It's not our Sean. Our Sean's amazing, but this isn't his story. This kid, Sean, grew up in my dad's youth group. Sean came into my dad's church in pretty much the worst circumstances. He came from an abusive home, physically abusive. His dad was an alcoholic. It got so bad that his dad was put into prison, and Sean and his younger sister were placed in the care of their grandmother. And so their grandma brought them to my dad's youth group. And Sean was full of anxiety, just broken, traumatized. But the students decided to love him and embrace him. They would try to engage with Sean, but Sean was so kind of battered and beaten in his soul that he couldn't even let people hug him. And my dad asked him one time, said, Sean, why is it that you don't let anybody hug you? And Sean said, well, every time somebody raises up their arms to hug me, I get a flashback of my dad, and I just fight or flight. I can't take it. So my dad said, okay. So my dad went to the other teenagers and said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Whenever we want to talk to Sean, we're going to put our hands behind our backs, make him feel safe, make him feel secure. So that's what they did. So weeks and weeks and months of the students putting their hands behind their back, talking to Sean, engaging with him, loving on him with their words of life, which they were comfortable doing, right? Then there was one magical night where there was amazing worship, amazing time of connecting between the students. Kids were crying and weeping. They were praying with one another. The presence of God was just thick in that room. And my dad is, you know, encouraging them, go around and give words of life to one another and pray with one another. And one of the more senior students gets up and says, Sean, tonight I'm giving you a hug. And Sean goes, no, you're not! And he starts running, right? And this teenager starts running after him. So they're running around the youth room. My dad's like, what? And there's this table in the back with this long tablecloth. And they're running, and Sean dives under the tablecloth. And this other kid dives in after him, and they're wrestling around. The tablecloth is going all crazy, you know. And my dad's like, what's going on? My dad goes over there. He's like, I'm going to give Sean a hug. And my dad's like, get out of there, get out of there, you know. And my dad crawls under the table, and he sees Sean just curled up in the fetal position. He says, Sean, I'm sorry, you know. I'm sorry this student scared you. I'm sorry you're scared. He just wanted you to know how much he loves you. I hope you can understand that. Just about that time, another teenager said, can I come and talk to Sean? Yeah. He climbed under. Sean, we just love you so much. We hope you know that. We hope you see that. And then another student came under. Sean, we care about you. And another student. Eventually, Sean came out from under the table, just weeping. And immediately, all the students put their hands behind their backs, and they just start using those powerful words of life. And they start saying, Sean, we love you. Sean, Jesus loves you. Sean, we're so glad you're here. Sean, we love you so much. Jesus loves you, Sean. And Sean just brought out his hands for a hug. And my dad was the first one to just wrap him up in this big bear hug. And then he let all the students hug him. And then he gave his heart to Jesus, right? God completely rescued Sean. Yeah, right? God completely rescued Sean. And God used the army of God to rescue Sean. Church, there are more Seans out there. There are Seans out there walking through the halls of all the schools right now. And I want to know, what kind of church are we going to be when God starts bringing more kids like Sean into our church? We have to be a church of warriors. And our students can do it. If you haven't listened to anything else I have said, if you have been on your phone drinking coffee this morning, I would ask you to listen to this. I have been back in that room since Christmas, and I have seen who's back there. I see you guys. I see you. I've seen you. And I'm telling you, you can do it. You can do it. I've seen the spark. I know it's there. Okay? I need you to believe in yourself because I believe in you. Jesus believes in you. And church, I'm asking you to believe in them too. Okay? We have to change our perception. God promises that he's going to prepare you for specific giants and specific rescue missions. I believe that in my soul. I believe it in my heart. Kim, you can come on up if you want. You know, David, right before he's about to slay Goliath, he gives this amazing speech. And the drama person in me is like, this is a great monologue. This needs to be performed, right? I'm not going to perform the whole monologue, don't worry. But David gives, teenager David, remember, this is teenager David, facing Goliath. And he has this amazing speech. I'm going to read part of it. He says, today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. May we be warriors like David. May we be full of faith, ready to join with God to rescue the next generation and to do and fulfill the will of God in our generation.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.